Hey everybody, how you doing? It's a new episode of the Bellied Up Podcast, and we're just so happy you're here. My buddy Miles, who co-hosts this podcast with me, I'm the main host, but he's my co-host, and he's celebrating a one-year anniversary. He got married for 1 year ago.
Yep.
And Miles, how's it going so far?
It's still going, which is, I think, the goal.
Yeah,
that's correct. Still married.
Yeah, still married. That is the goal. Some of us succeed, others don't.
Yep.
But what's been the best part and what's been the hardest part?
I mean, it's probably good, but I don't think there's really been any hard parts. The hardest part, I wouldn't say it's hard, but the hardest part is figuring out the whole holiday schedule with the families now.
Is that different from them when you were like fiancés?
Not in the last couple of years, but we're just still figuring it out, you know. Where do you go? And then, you know, in a few months we're going to have a kid, and then that's going to throw a whole nother wrinkle into the mix. And so,
yeah, because, you know, both sets of parents, grandparents are going to want to see the kid first thing Christmas morning. Yep. Whose house are you going to go to? Because, you know, that says something about who you love more.
I know, and I got to navigate it. Looking forward to that, but I suppose if that's the hardest thing right now, I think it's going pretty good.
That's good. Does Anne still like you?
Well, that's not what it's about anymore.
Well,
it's about, can Anne still tolerate me?
And the answer?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going anywhere for your anniversary?
Well, we actually will be on vacation in California.
Ooh.
Well, actually, we just got back. We're currently there.
21st. You're currently there.
So we are recording this ahead of time, so I am assuming that we are still married the time that this comes out.
Yeah.
So otherwise, we're going to have to edit around this pretty heavily.
Yeah.
But yeah, currently we are in California. I'm golfing. We're going out to dinner, all that stuff.
Cool. Is Anne going to golf pregnant, you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
You never know what she's going to do.
Okay. Well, that's good. What's been the best part, Miles, about your marriage?
We're having a kid. That's the best part.
Well, that's great. I'm very excited for you. And I still haven't gotten my letter in the mail about being the godfather, but I'll just assume that I should plan a trip to Fargo.
Well, if you were going to get one, it wouldn't be in the mail, and it wouldn't be over the phone. What I'd do is I would send you a Christmas gram.
Oh, nice. Well, Christmas.
I'd send an elf over to your house, and he's going to sing you a little jingle revealing that.
That'd be cool, man. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That'll be really nice.
It'd be tough to find someone who's willing to do it in June, but yeah. I think I can get it done.
Yeah, the elves, they've migrated north for the summer.
Yeah, it's usually their busy time as well. They got a lot to do before December.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I won't hold my breath. What advice do you have, Miles, for the single folks out there trying to make a marriage as successful as yours?
I truly believe this. This is not funny advice. This is real.
Okay.
There's just not a lot of stuff that happens in a marriage that you need to stick to your guns too heavily on.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, at the end of the day, if you're getting upset about something, you really gotta look and go, is this really worth getting that upset about?
Yeah, and is the thing you're upset about the root issue? Or is it sort of a proxy war for your real issue?
Yeah, or it's, instead of going, hey, they're doing this and it's annoying me, you got to, in the moment, go, well, is it because I'm hungry? Is it because I'm sleep deprived?
Uh-huh.
Is it because of something that happened at work that I'm taking this out on my wife?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, if all those are no and it's still a problem, then maybe you make a fuss about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't get past that checklist, it's probably your fault, not hers.
Miles, you've matured a lot since I met you. You really have. It's been fun to watch you grow up.
And it's really fun to be able to learn from others' mistakes, Charlie. And so I appreciate that.
Oh, okay. That was a fake laugh. I'm crying inside. I knew that was coming. Here I have a nice interview with you, Miles, about how great your marriage is. And what do? You stick it to your buddy, Charlie.
I know.
And on top of that, you don't make me the godfather.
And I know that there's a whole audience of people listening to this that get annoyed that I do that. And I'm sorry. That's my last time for a while.
By a while, he means two callers.
No, I won't bring it up the rest of the episode. I promise.
Let me see your fingers. You crossing your toes?
Nope.
Your balls? You got torsion going on down there?
Maybe.
Anyways.
Speaking of the calls, should we get into them?
Let's do some calls, Miles. Howdy ho. You're on the Bellied Up podcast. Who's this?
Well, hi. This is Annika.
Hi, Annika. Where are you calling in from?
I am in DeForest, Wisconsin.
Oh, DeForest. Pinky the elephant, right?
Yeah, Pinky. Yep, there's a big cow on the other side of the interstate, too.
Oh, yeah, sure is. Yeah, right over by that cheese place, right?
Yeah.
What's that cheese place called again?
I think it's Ellenbox.
Ellenbox. Like, yeah, I stopped in there not too long ago. Great cheese. Miles. If you're going over there off I-94, just past Madison, right? It's not 94. Wait, is it? No, it's that's where you take the turn right there. What's that?
That's right. Well, you're thinking of Detree, not DeForest.
No, I'm thinking of DeForest. Well, Detree's.
Yeah, and from the interstate, you can't see DeForest through Detree's.
Oh, I forget that, Miles. I forget. Anyways, I already got off track here. It happens, Annika. But why don't you belly up to the bar with us and maybe we'll see DeForest through the trees.
Sure. I'm calling for your advice since you were both once upon a time young men learning how to drive.
Yeah.
My son is going to be 15 this spring, so I'll be able to start teaching him how to drive. And I'm wondering what kind of advice you might have for me.
So glad you called.
You came to the right place.
You did.
You really did. Well, Charlie, what do you say?
Well,
these are the top things someone who's learning how to drive in the Midwest should know.
First and foremost, let's talk about the snow. It's slippery out there in the winter, and when it comes to the freezing point, you got to let your son know you got to drive slow enough that the person in the shotgun seat could fillet a walleye and not give themselves an accidental circumcision. Boom. Second piece of advice, Miles, go.
If you're coming to a four-way stop in the Midwest, you're going to need to get that old arm of yours warmed up because there's going to be a lot of waving. There's going to be a lot of, hey, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, I got all day. You go ahead. And you're going to need to teach them those lines.
Oh, yeah.
And there may be a flashcard of these.
Yeah.
Maybe do a couple flashcards like, no, you go ahead. What's some other ones you could do, Charlie?
I insist after you. And remember, at a four-way stop, it's BGO, brake, gas, ope. Brake, gas, ope. Because the other person at the four-way stop is going to be insisting you go, and there's going to be some confusion. So you brake first, let them go. If they let you go, it's a little bit of gas, but then they're going because they thought you gave them the go-ahead, which, of course, you did. So that's when it's ope and it's back on the brake pedal. So brake, gas, ope. Okay. And have him repeat that back to you so he knows. Another thing I'm going to say is bridges get icy. And so anytime you're going over a bridge, even if it's summer, you go with caution because you never know, that bridge could be icy. That's the first place ice forms. And a Midwest summer is known to have a little bit of ice yet, especially if the winter was bad.
I think the other thing you got to keep in mind is you got to be prepped for any scenario. You need to make sure that car of his is all loaded up with the essentials.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Like?
Snacks.
Snacks. two ice scrapers, one for the ice on the windshield and another for the deer. If you hit one, you got to scrape them out the grill a little bit.
You're going to need some jumper cables because it's cold out there. And batteries don't love the cold so much. And if their battery is good, someone else's isn't. And you don't want to be the person that doesn't have the jumper cables to help your buddy out.
And you also want to have a box of used car parts. Because if there's one thing I know about the Midwest, if you see a car broke down on the side of the road, you got to stop. And you got to be prepared with tools and a possible extra carburetor in there if they need that replaced, okay? And also a couple spares. You know, it's typical to have one spare in the car, but these days they're selling cars without spares. Can you believe it? So you want to go out with at least a few spares in your car at any given time.
And to expand on the snacks part, you got to have a shovel. Probably some cheese curds in there as well, because you don't want to have to get into a shovel yourself or a neighbor out situation on an empty stomach.
Absolutely not. Speaking of which, the sunglasses holder is not a sunglasses holder. That's a brat holder. So you put your brat in there, and the glove box, gloves. Yeah, I mean, fine, but that's where you need to have your buck knife, because if you hit a deer, we are not letting that fresh meat go without a freezer. So does your son know how to field dress a deer?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Then we're going to have to teach him that as well.
Miles, give the quick rundown. You start at the pecker. Go from there, Miles.
Well, I usually start up by the sternum.
Well, you got to find you start at the sternum?
And cut down towards the pecker.
Do you really?
That's how I was taught, yeah.
Really? Yeah. I'm starting around the pecker this whole time.
But at some point, you're going to tell him he's got to grab him by the balls, though. There's no getting around that.
I got to try starting at the sternum. I've never done that before.
I don't know if it's right or wrong. That's what I was taught.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. So there's many ways to skin a buck. Anyways, beyond that, I think that the most important thing is that your son always has to have his eyes peeled, not just for extra cars on the road, but for animals. Deer, obviously. And I know you're going to tell him to watch out for deer because you love your son. But if he sees turkeys, he's got them. Any wildlife he sees, you got to say, oh, there's a turkey. Or if you see a dead raccoon on the side of the road, oh, there's a raccoon. Because everybody wants, I mean, when you're driving through the Midwest, it's like going through a zoo. You know, and you want to note the animals you see. Turkeys, you want to take note if it's private land, public land, if they were toms, jakes, hens, what it was. Because come the springtime, you know, that's a fair game.
Yeah, you're gonna need to have like a field notes book to mark down any potential hunting spots along the way.
Exactly. And if you do pass, if you pass some cows, you got to count the cows.
You at least need to acknowledge that there are cows out there. That's
true.
Oh, look, some cows.
Yeah. And, you know, he's young, so he should not be counting the cows while he's driving. He's got to look out for deer. So,
I mean, I think that's kind of it. Pretty minimal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys have a AAA?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to make sure he never uses that ever. He's really got to be in a big pickle because you only get three or four free visits from AAA and they should not be used because he's in a ditch. Speaking of which, he should have 2 2x4s on the deal at all times, because if he gets stuck in a ditch, he's going to want to dig out and put those 2x4s to get traction on the front or on the back tires. If it's rear wheel drive, front tires get a little traction going. So actually, do you have extra roofing in your garage? Because that's good traction. So you'd nail those to the 2x4s, and that gives you nice traction to get out of any ditch. So he's not wasting your AAA calls.
All right. Sounds like he's got some projects to put together before he hits the road.
Sure does. And does he know how to use a ratchet strap?
He's helped his grandpa.
Okay. So
I don't know if he can do it on his own quite yet, but.
Well, we're going to, because every time he takes the car out on the top of the roof, you got to have the 2x4s and the extra spares. And he's got to strap it down and say, that's not going anywhere. And he cannot drive before he says that's not going anywhere.
Otherwise, that's like 7 years of bad driving luck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know.
Yep. Well, we just threw a lot at you. Any questions?
No, I think it sounds good. I'll just have to make him a list of all the other things he's got to learn besides the rules of the road.
Well, those aren't as big of a deal as some of the stuff that we said, honestly.
Yes, that's true. For the Midwest, you got to be prepared the right way.
Yeah. Just because you pass the DMV driver's test doesn't mean you're ready to drive in the Midwest. So... Mm-hmm.
Any word of caution of the drivers from Chicago, Charlie?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. Oh, my gosh. Now, does he know about fibs?
He does. He's heard me make some comments about the fibs many times.
Oh, you're a good mom. You're a good mom. So if he sees any folks with Illinois license plates, what he's going to want to do is pass them. They'll be in the fast lane. So the only time he should be speeding is when he's speeding past a fib, get into the fast lane and then slow it down to 55 because those fibs got to learn how to slow down. And unfortunately, your son's going to have to be the one to teach him, you know?
Okay.
All right.
I'll tell him no pressure, but.
Yeah, no pressure.
Good job's on him.
It is an advanced move. So, you know, I would say about a month after his temps, that's when he can do that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
All right.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to throw in is if he's on any sort of gravel, he's got to be waving at everyone he's going by. It's a good rule of thumb always to just wave at everyone he drives by. But if you aren't waving on a gravel road, that is like cardinal sin number one. So,
Oh, yeah. He knows that one, too. I go up to see my mom. We see everyone waving.
So. Yeah. Yep. And also, you know, come deer season, if he sees a nice buck on the back of someone's truck, he's got to zoom up to him, give a wave and say, hey, nice 12 pointer. And, you know, he knows how to count the points on a buck pretty good, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you've really laid a good base layer for his driving and we're happy to see it. We are.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. Any further? Go ahead.
No. Well, I had one other thing that's not related to the driving.
Sure.
It kind of put me in a Midwest identity crisis.
Oh, no.
I went to my bag of bags the other day, and it was empty.
Oh.
And I didn't know what to do with that.
Wow. Wow. Well,
I've never seen that happen before.
I'm going to say, this is uncharted territory for me. I don't think I've ever seen the bottom of a bag of bags.
Neither have I. I didn't know it existed.
I know.
Have you,
what do you think happened?
I think my son took the last bag when he was, doing the trash and didn't say anything. Hmm. And I've been using reusable bags at the grocery store, so I'm not getting piles of the plastic bags.
Oh, well,
and I just, didn't keep up.
You know, I gotta say that's it's not the worst thing. I was reading this article in the newspaper that there's so much plastic out there from and they photodegrade from the sun, and then we're all just ingesting this plastic. We ingest, now this goes to the bag of bags, every year we ingest a bag of bags inside us. Can you believe that?
Not really.
No, but it's true. It's true. But. So anyways, you guys are doing good by reusing those bags of bags, and it's fine. Miles is taking a big deep breath because he hates it when I start talking like a hippie, but I'm gonna do it because I'm worried about it.
My Midwest card has not been revoked, is what you're saying?
It's not been revoked.
No, I wouldn't say that. It's actually, this maybe is a good call to action. Maybe we need a bag of bags program now that we're trying to save on plastic bags. There's a lot of people out there that have, let's say they have a bag of bags with 100 bags in there, Charlie. They could spare 20.
True. True. Very true.
We
got to
start doing a bag of bags exchange program, maybe a dump off center, And you could donate your bags if you got too many. And if you don't have enough because you've been reusing them, you can take them from them.
And the other thing I'll say,
you guys could make a bellied up bag center.
We could.
Yeah. It's kind of like the little free libraries that you see around, but it's just for bags and bags.
Yeah.
We honestly could partner with the little free libraries and just put a little canister on next to them.
Yeah. Leave a, take a bag, leave a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
It's actually kind of a good idea.
Yeah. We got, maybe we can have it at our singles meetups too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Are you saving your bread bags too, by the way?
Yeah. We don't go through that many of those.
But yeah.
I save them when we got them.
Well, put some bread bags in the car too, because you never know if you get stuck out there when it gets cold. You can wrap your socks in those, add a little extra heat to the feet. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Although he doesn't have to wear the moon boots like when I was a kid, but got soaking wet anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
God, those
well, we appreciate you calling in. We're excited for you. This is a fun time, I feel like, in parenthood. Also a little scary time, so you got to make sure he's prepared for any situation.
Well, I appreciate your advice.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Tell Pinky the elephant we says hi.
I will. Be careful on those roads.
All right. You too. Bye-bye now.
Bag of bags exchange actually could be something, Charlie.
It could. I mean, that could be the thing that really takes us off to the next level.
Yeah.
You know?
You kind of hit both worlds, too. All the hippies are happy that bags aren't going in the dumpster. They're getting reused.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other people are just excited to make sure that they have their bag of bags full.
A full stash of bag of bags. I mean, right now, I've got 3 bags of bags, and they're monster bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? I mean, I could give some of those away happily. So let's do that. We should set that up.
So we take another caller in the meantime?
Let's do it, pal. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast, who we chit-chatting with right now.
Hello. My name is Megan.
Megan, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Just woke up, made some breakfast.
Oh, good for you. Belly on up to the bar and tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, well, I actually called you guys a couple months ago about my dirt bike being stolen.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to give you guys an update.
We got a bellied update.
Okay, well, let's first refresh the listeners on what happened, and then we can dive into it.
Yeah, so I had just moved to Seattle, and we had bought like this street legal dirt bike, and it got stolen out of my front yard, and we never found it, surprisingly.
Oh, no. We gave you guys some advice, though, on how to maybe catch the person, right? Did you try any of that?
And we followed everything to a T, but sadly, we got outsmarted.
Even the cardboard cutout of one?
Actually.
We told you to make a life-size squirrel trap, right? And put the cardboard cutout under the box with the stick, and then you pull the rope, and that didn't work.
Yeah, well, they never came back.
Ah, jeez. These criminals are getting really smart.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
I guess we got to up our game, Charlie.
I guess so.
That used to work.
Well, so we had gone on like a couple of Facebook pages, and we got a couple of leads from like these homeless encampments. And so we spent days driving around the whole city trying to look for it, but it's a goner.
Okay. Well, are you going to get another one?
No, so we actually just moved to Colorado, so probably don't want a dirt bike in winter.
Could put some chains on that sucker.
Could be a snow bike pretty easily.
Yeah, it could. It might be a little cold for that, don't you think?
No. No, I'll be just wear some mittens.
Yeah. Well, we still have a little PTSD from it, so we might wait a little bit before we get another one.
Well, we're sorry you didn't find your bike. That's a bummer. Yeah. How's Colorado treating you guys?
Oh, it's good. I haven't been back here for like 4 years. Like all my family's out here. So that's been nice. But this weekend went up to the mountains with my family. And then my windshield wiper fluid froze. And didn't even think, coming back to Colorado, you know, you have to get the antifreeze. So it took me what was supposed to be a 2 hour drive home turned into like a 5-6 hour drive home.
Because of the windshield wiper fluid?
Yeah, because it was snowing and then like all the dirt and like the slush was getting up on my windshield and I couldn't clean it.
Now, did your wiper fluid freeze or did you just get a little ice chunk in front of the dispenser on the top of your car there?
No, like the whole entire thing froze.
Oh, wow.
I guess I wouldn't even think of that's a problem because you just always have the antifreeze
in the deal.
Yeah, I just would never even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've encountered that myself.
Well, so you're in Colorado, so I imagine you own a pair of snow goggles.
No, actually, I don't.
Jeez,
it's
Louise.
Been a while since I've been like snowboarding.
Well, in case that happens again, and you forget to put the antifreeze in there, you got to make sure you have a pair of goggles, and you got to do the Ace Ventura, just stick that head out the window, and you should be good.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so because like I've lived, let's see, I was in like Virginia Beach, Texas, Minnesota, and then Seattle. And so a lot of those places don't, well, Minnesota, I was there during the summer, winter time. I'm sure it's very different, but don't see a lot of snow. So I didn't even think to do the antifreeze. And so, yeah, it was a very small problem that turned into a very big problem. But yeah, we're good now.
Well, good. It's a good life lesson and a good PSA. For anyone out there.
Yeah, you know, no kidding.
We just had a woman call in. She's got her son starting to drive. So, you know, hopefully she's listening to this call, too, and knows get the antifreeze in the the windshield wiper fluid.
Yeah, that was not fun.
Yeah.
So just having bike problems and car problems,
What other problems you got right now?
And I'm living in my grandparents' house right now, which is very interesting. I actually, this was another problem that I had. So I had a Christmas ugly sweater party when I first got here. And I found in my grandparents' pantry what looked to be like a mini fridge. So I stocked that thing with beer and with seltzers. You know, I was good to go. And then a couple hours later, I open to get one, and they're all frozen.
Oh,
we were having, like, beer slushies and seltzer slushies. And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe I just need to turn the temperature down. Another couple hours later, they were, like, frozen solid. Turns out it was a mini freezer, which I have never personally encountered.
Really? Was it, like, the top flipped open?
No, it looked exactly like a mini fridge, but it was a freezer.
Hmm.
So well, nothing in your head when they turned to slush, were you thinking like there was no alarm that was like, maybe this is a freezer?
Well, so the thing is really old. So I didn't even know, nobody's lived in this house for like 2 years. So I didn't even know if the thing still worked. So when I plugged it in, I turned it all the way up to like the coldest setting.
Yep. Yep.
I just thought, I was like, maybe it's too cold. So I turned it down and I like kind of left the door open a little bit too to let the colder air out. And no, it was a freezer. I've never seen a mini freezer that looks like a mini fridge.
I've never seen that either. Now, some might say, same solution to your windshield wiper problem, just add some antifreeze to your drinks, but I gotta warn all of you, that is poison. So
don't do that.
Don't go mixing antifreeze.
That is not an official advice from us.
No.
Yeah.
Much the opposite.
So you're living with...
Being a nurse, I don't recommend that.
No.
Nope, neither do we.
So you're living with your grandma.
Well, my grandparents aren't living in this house. So it's just me and then my boyfriend part-time who commutes to D.C. half the time.
He's your... part-time boyfriend or your boyfriend who has a part-time job?
No, he's my boyfriend, but he has a place still in DC that he commutes to every now and then.
Okay, so just a quick little trip to DC every now and again.
You must be putting a lot of miles on the car.
No, well, actually, so he's one of my brother's like best friends, and my brother works for United, so he gets to choose a couple of people to put on his buddy pass, so he actually flies for free.
Oh, fancy.
Well,
hey,
Louise.
I got a question. What did your brother think about his best buddy dating his sister when you guys first started off?
He wasn't too stoked about it at first, obviously, but I think he kind of... realized it was bound to happen. But like before him and I, like out of respect for my brother, before him and I actually started hanging out, I was like, hey, we need to talk to him, make sure he's okay with this, because I don't want to step on his toes. And so we talked to him and he gave us the green light. He likes to give a shit every now and then for it just because he's my brother, but deep down I feel like he likes it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to piss your brother off if he's a pilot, you said, right?
Well, here's maybe starting to connect some dots here, Charlie.
Yeah.
What? Stick with me.
He doesn't want to lose his flight benefits either.
Yeah, so there's that part, but I'm going to put my conspiracy theory hat on here,
okay,
Charlie.
Okay, I like it when you do that.
You know how they say when a woman gets murdered? It's usually the husband who murdered her.
Yeah.
Well, I also heard that when dirt bikes get stolen, it's usually someone close to the person who owns the dirt bike. What if that's your brother's way of getting back at you guys for not being as happy about you dating his best friend? Did you check his garage for the dirt bike?
When we were in Seattle, he was still here in Colorado.
That's what he wants you to think.
Does he have access to a plane?
Yeah, if only he worked for an airline and he could get cheap flights.
And also, he can check that luggage pretty easily. You know, I could see him just riding that dirt bike into the back of the old Delta plane and then hopping in the cockpit and rocking and rolling.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's But, you know, he came to Seattle to visit us, like, probably a couple weeks after. He was like, oh, yeah, we're going to find this thing. Like, he was so all for going out and looking for it. So maybe that was a decoy trying to,
Did he perhaps take you off the road that you should have gone down? And by road, I mean sky.
I didn't think about that till now.
Yeah, I think it's time you and your boyfriend sat down with your brother and had a real honest conversation.
No, I don't think he would do that.
That's what he wants to think. This is the perfect crime.
Revenge is best served cold.
Maybe he was trying to distract you with it, with taking out the antifreeze in your washer fluid.
I think that you might need to go contact the local police department about your pilot brother. Seems he's trying to get some weird things to fly over there in Colorado, and I'm not happy about it.
He was probably the one that switched my mini fridge with a freaking freezer.
That's true. We are noticing a pattern.
I was thinking it's too much strange stuff that's happened to you lately for it to not be a conspiracy. So we're gonna have to do some research.
I'm all for the conspiracy.
And you live in Colorado, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Charlie, I think we gave her something to think about.
Yep. Another mystery solved here on the Bellied Up podcast. You can thank us later.
Oh, I will be.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling in again. It was a good bellied update. Sad we couldn't find your dirt bike, but maybe we did.
Maybe we did. Mm-hmm. I'll keep you guys updated.
All right. Thanks for calling in again.
We'll see you soon now.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, tell your folks.
I don't think it was the brother. I just kind of wanted to make her go down a wild goose chase.
Oh, I think it was the brother.
Really?
Yeah. You convinced me.
Then I did my job. Maybe I'm in cahoots.
Yeah. I think, I bet you, you know.
You know what would have been great if we would have actually found, like, because that person that stole it would have sold it and we would have found it and then.
That would have been so cool.
Been like, we have it.
We should have really.
And we want money for it.
We need a private investigator on the payroll for this show.
Okay. I've always been looking for a reason to get a PI.
I'd love a PI.
What would we do with them?
Well, we send them out on these. We have a lot of callers that could use a PI.
That's true.
We just need a PI on retainer.
All right.
If you guys are a PI looking for a retainer work, you give us a call.
We're not going to pay very much, so.
We'll pay per thing that, like, if you find that dirt bike, we'll pay. We need a commission. We need a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Put a bounty on it. Yeah.
All right. Another caller, Charlie?
Sure.
Charlie,
Miles,
you know what I love about the Nicolet Law Office?
The billboards.
The billboards is one.
Yeah. The beard.
And two, they are regular folks like you and I.
Yep, they are.
And they aren't going to be a snooty lawyer. They're not going to fill you full of jargon. They're just going to shoot you straight. Probably want to have a beer with you afterwards, and that's the type of people that I'm looking for to do business with.
I want a lawyer where I walk into their law offices, and it's like one of them nice haircutting places where they got a fridge with beer in it, and it's like, have a beer while I cut your hair. They'll give you a beer while they do your stuff. I don't know if that's true, but, it could be true. You know, and that's my legal jargon in this advertisement, because if it's not true, it's my fault. But I bet you they probably got a fridge there with some beer.
Somewhere in that office, there's beer. We know
for
that.
Sure. Now, whether you're getting that or not, well, I guess that depends how bad your injury is.
Yeah.
So if you're injured, give Nicolet a call. 1-855-NICOLETTE.
Yeah.
I say Nicolette because some people... Only
T at
if the some
end.
People see a T, they're pronouncing the T. Yeah. So for them folks, there you have it. All right.
Welcome
Hello?
To the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Kelly.
Kelly. What are you up to?
Not much. Just getting ready to head out to work pretty soon.
Where are you working
at? Oh, you caught me right before I'm heading out. I bartend. Out here in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Okay, well, you're doing God's work in Fondy.
Fondy.
Charlie.
What bar are you doing over there in Fondy? What's your bar?
The main pub right on Main Street here in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Double bubble every day.
Oh, double tap it. There you go. Hey, my Grandma Sue's over there in Fondy, my Aunt Mary. So I'm there quite a bit, actually. I got to stop by and say hi.
Come down and, shake for some shots.
Oh, I'd love to shake for some shots with you. Well, why don't you belly up to our bar before you go to your bar and tell us what's on your mind?
Well, I had just a couple questions. I figured that you're probably a pro when it comes to how do I take care of my flannels for the longevity of... A good flannel. You know, I buy my flannels. Most of them are from Duluth Trading.
Sure.
I usually don't get them full price, but, you know, they're usually on sale. But that's a pretty penny, and, you know, you don't want to mess them up in the wash or the dryer. So what's your recommendations for keeping a flannel for the long run?
Well,
this is very fitting because Charlie right now is wearing his flannel Stormy Cromer.
I am.
And so, Charlie, why don't you start her off?
So here's what I like to do with flannels. First of all, a good flannel is going to withstand any washing machine, dryer, whatnot. Okay. And I know this because I put zero thought into my washing of any clothes I have. And a lot of my t-shirts shrink. The one I'm currently wearing was a little bit bigger. I haven't quite figured that out yet. I hear you're supposed to put it on cold. I try cold. They still shrink. I don't know. But the flannels never shrink. I mean, a good flannel you can do anything with and it's not going to go bad. If the flannel's going bad, you got the wrong flannel. What I like to do, honestly, when I'm getting myself a flannel, I go over to Goodwill and you can see the wornness of the flannel. The more worn ones, you know, that's going to be that's a sign of longevity. It's not a bad thing. And they're broken in, you know, it's like a saddle. You got to break that sucker in. And so I'd get a nice broken in flannel. You're not going to need to worry about what you do with it. But you really want to hang it in a place of honor in your closet, because that flannel is a living, breathing thing. And it knows that if you're just being disrespectful to it, it will be disrespectful to you. So those are my initial thoughts. Miles is over here giggling like an asshole because he doesn't like my advice. No,
I just didn't know where you were going with that.
I disagree with you a little bit, Charlie.
Oh, you disagree with me? Okay, well,
yeah,
you know
what? I say don't put them in the dryer. Don't dry your flannel. Because I usually only wear my flannels over a band t-shirt or a tie-dye. So they're not getting, like, too cruddy. You know what I mean?
I think you better
Febreze.
Oh, Febreze. Febreze.
Get the tequila out of them. Get the bonfire smell out of them. Usually the only time that I wash my flannels is if I got like crud on it, like puke or like dirt or something like that.
Okay.
Otherwise, usually Febreze will basically take care of the bonfire and the beer smell.
You can be honest with us. You said you're wearing them over a tie-dye shirt. We know that your flannels smell like weed. Okay. We know.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we found the real issue. How do you get your flannels to not smell like dope? And aside for don't do the dope, Febreze actually sounds like a good one. And you know what? I like what you're saying about the don't wash it. I really rarely wash my flannels anyway, so that's fantastic. Most of the stuff I wash has direct contact with my armpits, so and flannels often don't. Miles, you haven't talked in a while.
Yes, I just wanted to observe what you guys are talking about. I think that you are wrong, Charlie. You don't ever want to dry your flannel. It's a recipe for disaster.
I've never heard that.
You actually really shouldn't be drying any of your clothes, even though I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got a nice piece of clothing, maybe a Carhartt sweatshirt or something, you don't want to throw that in the dryer, first off.
Okay.
Number two is, I think you hit the nail on the head. Actually, kind of like jeans, you don't want to wash them as much. And I agree with you on that. I view a nice flannel as a genuine piece of leather. It's going to wear in. It's not going to wear out.
Wow. This is a call where I am learning something, and I appreciate both of you guys on enlightening me on this. I got to take better care of my flannels, and by take better care, I mean care less about them.
Exactly, Charlie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a situation, Charmin Ultra toilet paper, less is more.
Wow, very profound, Miles.
Now, I like that. Are you getting puke on your flannels because of patrons, or is that you?
Both.
Okay.
Sometimes both. I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I turn into Pukey McGee.
Okay,
puke. You know, because when you're shaking for shots as a bartender, you know, sometimes those patrons are calling shots that you normally wouldn't take, you know?
Yeah,
we've talked about this before.
I'm not sticking to the sippy cowl.
What's the worst shot? Oh. What's the worst shot? The shot you never want to take.
Malort.
Oh yeah.
Was there a video online recently of you taking a Malort shot and looking dead on the inside after?
Yeah, yeah, I put it on my story. Oh my, that's the worst. That's
that's
disgusting.
Bad. I can do tequila. I can do rail gin, but Malort. Yeah, keep that down in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. I think the best way to keep them good is to wear them. Don't wash them unless you absolutely have to. And I think they're going to wear in and not wear out.
Yeah. Hey, I had another question for you guys.
Yeah.
So it's coming up on the Sturgeon Spectacular here in Final Act coming up, and we got the chili cook-off coming up. Now, I'm entering this year as a home cook. 2 years before, prior, I, two years in a row, but then not the last 2 years. So it was 2019 and 2021, because COVID messed it up a little bit for 2020. But I won the Sturgeon Spectacular Chili Cook-Off in the restaurant category. And now that I'm doing the home cook category. So I was wondering if you guys had any chili cook-off advice, or maybe just your views about what makes a good Midwest chili a good chili.
Okay,
before we answer it, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
Not to brag, you won. And two, nice way to brag about yourself by acting all humble and being you guys have any advice.
Yeah.
You're looking at two guys that don't even know how to work an oven correctly.
Right.
And you're going to take food advice from us, from a cook-off champion? I don't think that's going to happen.
You might as well have said, hey, guys, I won my first Oscar. Well, two Oscars, 2019 and 2021. They didn't hold the Oscars in 2020 because of COVID. But how can I win my third Oscar?
Yeah. You guys got any acting advice?
Yeah. Yeah. What I will say with chili, I eat it all and I can't really taste, everything I eat, I kind of taste pretty good to me. So I'm not a picky eater.
No noodles or beans.
Oh, I throw the noodles in.
No noodles.
I'll do it all. I'll do noodles, beans. I like it spicy. That's what I like. I was going to say,
the only thing that I care about with a nice chili is, does it make my nose run?
Yeah.
If it can make my nose run, I'm all for it.
Yeah, because the nasal drip actually releases some flavor in the chili.
Yeah.
So as soon as just a scotch of snot hits that chili, it's like salt. It opens up the flavor profile.
Yeah, a little sodium.
Yep. So you get that that spice in there. How are you spicing up your chili? What are you cutting pepper, jalapeno?
Ask her for her secret ingredient.
I'm just asking her for some tips, Miles, and she would have given the secret ingredient had you not called it out like that.
Well, usually I make my own chili powders, or like I buy my own like dried chilies and process my own dried chilies.
I
like to use ancho chilies. I'm gonna say all the name. I know I can say ancho, right? But all these other Mexican named chilies, I'm gonna say wrong, but Guajiro chilies, Hatch chilies, Poblano, Serranos.
I
prefer my chili with pork. I like pork shoulder and braised. So it's not ground, but I make a meaty chili.
Oh, yeah.
You're speaking my language.
I know.
Braised with beer.
I'm hungry.
Braised in beer.
God.
For the long haul, yeah,
I
love that. there's no doubt in our mind why you won that cook-off.
You are speaking our language.
As an expert in the chili world, I got to ask you. This seems to be not as common as I thought. So when I grew up, we'd have chili and we'd have cinnamon rolls with it.
Mm.
What are your stances as a chili cook-off champ pairing chili with a cinnamon roll?
So I get the whole sweet and spicy, salty, like chili combination. I have friends that also put it over chocolate cake. I've heard that. I've heard peanut butter sandwiches. I am not a big sweet tooth person. So I like, with my chili, I like a grilled Limburger and onion on rye sandwich.
Okay.
Because I'm from Wisconsin.
Yeah, just something simple like that. Yeah.
I like the rye inclusion.
So back to your original question about the cook-off.
The Limburger cheese. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Miles. Well, I live in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin now, but apparently you guys say everywhere I've lived is the Midwest, including Alaska. But I did grow up, I spent some years in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, my like middle school years. And are you familiar, Miles, with a North Dakota style caramel roll?
Maybe. Continue on. What? Maybe I don't even know. Maybe
like
I just think that
like a
is
cinnamon roll, but it's covered in caramel.
Oh yeah.
And like they're really popular in North Dakota. Like in North Dakota, you would go to school and get breakfast, and one of the options was is a caramel roll.
Yeah, actually.
And it's like a cinnamon roll, but it's covered in delicious caramel, and they're ginormous.
Yeah. So when
and
I
like
was
North Dakota is the only place.
So when I was a kid, I used to, no, you're good. When I was a kid, I would go to work with my dad in the summer and we'd stop at a gas station called Stop and Go. They no longer are in business anymore and they would have the best big cinnamon caramel rolls and I would get one of those for breakfast. And so, yeah, I absolutely know my way around a cinnamon caramel roll.
The cinnamon caramel roll from the Stop and Go.
Yep.
That's I don't think I've had myself a cinnamon caramel roll yet. And here we are in North Dakota. I feel like I got to try one today.
Yep. Well, if you're ever in Devil's Lake, on Main Street in Devil's Lake, there's this little diner and they got just this case of like these caramel rolls about the size of your face.
What's it called?
And they serve them warm with butter on top.
Are they the size of my face or Charlie's face? Because I need to know how big this thing is.
Probably Charlie's face.
Okay.
Who's got a bigger face?
Not quite as big as your face.
I definitely have the bigger face. Look at me.
No, that's true. That's true.
You know I got a big face when I stand face on with the mirror and I can't see my ears. You know? And Charlie doesn't even know what that's like.
No, I don't. What's the name of the diner in Devil's Lake that we can get that cinnamon or that caramel cinnamon roll at?
Oh, man, I can't remember. There's only really one diner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to the diner in Devil's Lake if you're interested.
Yeah.
I have one more question before you before we let you go to work. Is that cool?
Okay, what's that?
Okay. As someone who doesn't know a ton about chili, I want you to give me the...
Okay.
I want, from a chili champ, I want to know the top three things that make a great chili.
It's got to be meaty. It's got to have that flavor. The cumin. Cumin is the spice. If you smell that... It smells like chili.
If you smell
it. So it's kind of got like a smoke. Yeah. So it's got to have meaty, cumin, and good peppers.
Good peppers. All right.
And where does one find good peppers?
The garden.
Either your local Mexican grocery store or the internet. I have some brands that I buy that I get. There's this one place that I get chili powder. From New Mexico online. Okay. And that's, it makes really good. So a good quality chili pepper and meaty and smoky. Yep.
Also in Wisconsin,
that's what I say.
You can grow some good peppers. And just a secret, a little tip for everyone. This comes from my grandpa, Bob. You get yourself some sheep's head out of Winnebago And, you know, you can clean them a little bit. And then with the fish guts, you know, whatever fish guts, doesn't have to be sheep head. You bury them in your garden, and that really makes the pumpkins grow. And the jalapenos, well, I don't know if jalapenos really grow, but you can grow some nice hot peppers.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to be honest with you. If I'm growing stuff in my backyard, it's not going to be peppers.
Oh, you're growing the weed. Oh, this comes back to the tie-dye shirt.
I'm just joking.
No, you're not. Joking. No, you're not. Next time I'm in Fond du Lac, I'm going to stick my sniffer out the window and see if I can smell your backyard.
That's why she's always got to be cooking chili to cover up the other smells.
That's true. And now we know why she wants something to wash her flannels.
Oh, full circle is what we call that.
It is.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. Have a good day over at the bar. We hope you get tipped big today.
Okay. Yep. You guys have a good day.
All right. You too now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a good gal.
I know.
She sounds like I'd want her to be my bartender.
Seriously. And
great energy. Keeps the party going.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. Always has hooch on her. I learned a lot in that. I didn't know about the flannel thing. I didn't know about the chili deal. Cumin.
No matter how this goes down, Charlie, you want to head to Devil's Lake, get a caramel cinnamon roll?
Yeah.
All right.
I hope there's someone at the door saying, cumin in. Come on in. Well, anyway, we're done here, folks. Tried to get one last joke in and, crash the plane. But it's been a pleasure having you here, belly up to the bar with us here at Woody's Bar and Grill in Fargo, North Dakota.
Great vibes.
Miles, it's been a pleasure. Maybe we should see if we can get some of these pull tabs to get us some money before we go.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. As always, tip your bartender, and we'll see you next one.
See you next time.